Morning world, it's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning.
9:07 on the clock. We hope you're having a good Tuesday out there. Got some That Ain't Right stories a little bit later, good stories of the day we're going to dive into. Right now, have some entertainment news, and we're diving into the new television season pretty soon here.
Mm.
And one of the shows coming back is the TV show The Conners.
Okay.
Made famous, of course, after the spinoff of Roseanne, kind of. Although it's really not a spinoff. It's just kind of like a redoing of the show without the lead character, Roseanne, anymore.
Huh.
The show The Conners has been on for a fifth season. They're going into their fifth season, which I think is incredibly impressive. Like, regardless of however you feel about the situation, should Roseanne have lost her job, or you know, was she the best part of the show, or all these different questions it might have about Roseanne, the old show Roseanne,
mm-hmm.
It really speaks to the writers, to the actors, to the creative team, that they've been able to spin off, like, you lost your, literally, the character that the show was named after, and you go five more
seasons.
You're
still going.
That just doesn't happen. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Now, they have lost some people over the years of original cast members, and they're losing another one going into this season. The young kid who played, not young anymore, DJ, is leaving Lanford. Michael Fishman, who will not return for season 5 of The Conners, which premieres on ABC on September 21st. Fisherman issued a statement saying, "What an honor it's been to play DJ on Roseanne and The Conners." He said, quote, "I have a number of projects I am pitching as a writer, continue negotiating my next directing opportunities, and look forward to showing my range as an actor." Michael has already directed several episodes of The Conners. He added, quote, "While I was told I would not be returning for season 5, Lanford was a valuable place to grow up, learn, and develop. Even though that makes it sound like he was let go, people claims the door is open for him to return." And, you know, shows evolve, shows change. But what I think is really interesting is, for him as a child actor, he's kind of one of the last child actors to really kind of come into things without the, like, almost every single child actor you see nowadays is Sir Laurence Olivier. Like, I mean, they're all incredible. Like, mm-hmm. Every child actor, they're just incredible actors.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming from somebody that takes this and dissects this field like nobody else in the world. I will stand on that mm-hmm. hill. And I'm not saying that's healthy or good. I'm just saying I do this. An actor like him that didn't really have that kind of training or anything, I think you saw, even as an adult, but yet he's turned it into, you know, directing and writing. He still acts a bit here and there, but I like that he's gone kind of behind the camera a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Eastwood really, like, he enjoyed being a movie star. He enjoyed being an actor. But it really wasn't what he wanted to do, really. Like, what he's doing now is more along the lines of what he really enjoys, and that's being a director and collaborating with other people and having a vision in his head that others help him create.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see a little bit of that with this guy.
Well, and the benefit to him is he's got the opportunity to do this.
Yeah.
From having been on that show, and he can take this and pivot it however he wants.
Yeah. Which is, again, the only way to survive in that industry. I'm not sure why he's leaving the show necessarily, if it's their choice, his choice, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't be back. But it does look like they are leaving the door open, I mean. So that's what I wanted to wrap up on. It does look like they may bring the character back at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is kind of funny. They still have Sweeps Week. It's still a thing.
Like, really?
Yeah, so maybe Sweeps Week they'll do it or something. I don't know. No. This actually sounds like something Ricky Gervais would make fun of other celebrities for. But he's actually the culprit with this.
Hmm.
Ricky Gervais, pretty popular, famous comedian, been around for a long time, show creator. He was the guy who originally created The Office for the BBC.
Okay.
And before the American version, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He's hosted a handful of events like the Golden Globes and things like that.
Mm.
He's been doing this a long time. He's been doing stand-up comedy for a long time. And now Ricky did some shows at a theater in London recently in order to test out some new material for a tour. And patrons were banned from having ice in their drinks because the sound of it clinking distracted him.
Oh, Really?
At one of the shows, he also roasted a guy who was having a snack at his seat. He asked him, quote, "Didn't have your dinner?" Then he told the crowd, quote, "He's having a blank picnic." Ricky also made headlines for beefing up security at the gigs, which is understandable given the recent onstage attacks of Dave Chappelle and Salman Rushdie and these things. Mm. So that part I completely get. But the other part? Oh, I'd love to make fun of him for this. I would rip on him, and I'm sure he would rip on me back for my looks or whatever and stuff, but I would rip on him for days on this one.
For little idiosyncrasies.
Have you ever done community theater, Ricky? Have you ever done theater? Period. Period. Imagine if we did this, like, every time somebody was making a noise in the audience or something like that.
Stop the show.
Yeah, yeah. Like, get over yourself. You got a job to do, man. Do your job. Get up there, do your job, and quit whining. Like, that is one of the whiniest celebrity things I've ever heard in my life. And I actually don't mind Ricky Gervais. I think he's incredibly funny, and his laugh is one of my favorite laughs. Hmm. He's got a great laugh. But I'd be laughing at him over this.
Yeah.
Like, this has got to be a bit. Like, you can't be serious. And here it turns out he's very serious about this. You know, I can't have the clinking of the water, the glass. Like, then don't do it. Then don't tour. Don't do a stand-up comedy. Don't do live theater. Don't do live comedy. If you can't hang, get out. Like, I'm sorry, but that's the gig. People are going to make noises. They're human beings. The next thing, yes, Mr. Gervais would like you to turn your cell phones off, have no ice in your glasses, and if you could resist breathing. If you could, breathing distracts
him.
Don't
wear satin fabric because the sound of the satin as you're moving in your seat really distracts me.
And dear God, do not laugh. Okay, that's very distracting from Ricky. He's trying to do stand-up comedy here. Don't be laughing and throwing him off.
Or you have to pass through a laugh detector before you come in. If you have a certain type of laugh, you're just not allowed in.
I
heard one of those, though, recently. Mm. I was in a bar, and this lady, she laughed, and the entire bar looked. Because we thought it was a flock of seagulls, literally. And the guy sitting across from me is like, nope. Wasn't a flock of seagulls. She just laughed. And apparently, her family has like a running tally of, or a betting pool of who can make her guffaw laugh like that the first at family gatherings.
That's good. There is when you meet somebody or you know somebody that has one of those classic laughs or something,
or just notable, like different from anybody else you've ever heard before.
It's one of my favorite things. It's part of the reason why there is very few things in the world that feel better or are more enjoyable than making a child laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like a child, because we just don't laugh the way we did as kids, the way we do as adults.
No, and I think that especially like you and I, we're conscious of how we're laughing or how it sounds.
Yeah.
I would love to learn how to impersonate my stepmom's laugh.
Mm.
She has just this cute giggle laugh that is so infectious. And I would love to be able to impersonate it. I think it's cute.
When I was a kid, one of the earlier impressions I learned to do was Eddie Murphy's laugh.
Oh, really?
Like, you know, just, I love his laugh. I love his laugh. Yeah, there's a certain laughs that are good. It's classic. But not Ricky Gervais show. No laughter.
Okay. Nope.
I don't think he has to worry about that.
Or just ice.
Just no ice either. Yes. just one more entertainment story I wanted to touch on here. And this is actually one where I feel like me and Mr. Atkins could sit down and have a conversation. Trace Atkins did something frightening while filming his upcoming show, Monarch. And by frightening, I mean kind of, you know, little heavy petting, kind of fooling around with Susan Sarandon.
Oh.
Yeah. Quote, "In our first scene, we had to make out on a private jet. I was terrified." For those that don't know, Trace Atkins is the size of a football player. Like, this is a big man.
Yeah, he's 6'6".
He is the definition of the manly man kind of stuff and everything. All that, and incredibly intimidated by, like, 5'4" Susan Sarandon, like, or whatever it was, or whatever. Luckily, Trace got through it, thanks to Susan. She's a pro who's seen and heard everything, which made it easy for him. Quote, "So when I realized that she's got this, then I became very comfortable and enjoyed every second with her." It is brave, I think. It is also a money gig, and it is a pivoting of your career.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's brave when a musician, especially somebody who doesn't necessarily have to. I think Trace Atkins is going to be okay if he doesn't do any acting.
Right.
He's going to financially, his family will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to push yourself creatively. You want to try different things. And to do that on this level is not easy. I kind of admire it. I'm not saying like I admire it like I do some national hero or something. I'm not putting it up there.
But in the acting world, for sure. And he got to act opposite Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, which is,
I mean, come
that's
on.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Who would pass up that opportunity?
I also love this because while he wasn't maybe intending to, he was doing something that a lot of people have done with Susan over her career. And I call her Susan because we're friends. I'm Miss Sarandon. Jeez. She is one of those people that is such a good team player. Mm-hmm. She loves, she really works with, especially young or inexperienced actors. She will spend hours on set with you going over lines and working on things. And I admire every actor that does that, especially of her stature.
Yeah.
Been around a long time doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily have to do those things. That's not part of her job. But I think it is.
Well, because she knows that it enhances the performance overall.
Yeah.
And it's team building.
They do this all the time in football. You've got an established quarterback, and then you bring in the young quarterback. And the old quarterback is like, well, I'm not going to help him take my job. I believe that if you are good enough, then you're going to keep your job, no matter how much this young kid is. Train the young kid.
Yeah.
Like you want, it should be a. It should be
like a legacy of leaving your team with a good replacement.
I agree. I can't think of a better legacy than that. Mm-hmm. You can take Super Bowls, you can take all those things, but if you're able to say, I helped the next run
right.
here,
mm-hmm.
and there's plenty of examples of that not happening and it working out. But I do think that you have a better product when you are able to do that. That's that show has nothing about it that necessarily pulls me into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I hear about it, the more I'm kind of curious. Kind of like how this is going to.
I have heard absolutely nothing about it.
It's
I'm curious.
It's called Monarch. It's a show about like a country music family, like
super.
Think
couple.
About like yeah, like the Judds, the Mac. I don't know if Reba McEntire will be, there, but she remind the lead character. This is Sarandon is playing reminds me of Reba McEntire to a degree.
Okay.
But I think if they're thinking of this of like the Cashes, the Judges, the Judds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry. The country's not my wheelhouse. But,
Sudsy drama
there's,
is how
yeah.
it's described.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a dramedy. It's definitely or drama. Drama, yeah. Yeah. And it's got a pretty good cast. They put a lot of money into this, too.
Mm.
So whether it's good or not, you're definitely going to see probably the first full season.
Okay.
Because they just put way too much money into this thing. So
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how it does. The new fall season's kicking off real soon here. Some of it already has.
This one premieres Sunday, September 11th.
Mm. Oh, yeah, right around the corner.
Yep.
We will, right at the start of the football season, I see. Okay, interesting. Huh.
Hmm.
Now, Fox is pretty good about that, though, with their lead-ins. There's a lot to be said for lead-ins. This is becoming more of a thing in radio because radio, I was talking to a program director out in California about this. This is the way that I've kind of approached things, but it turns out this is like the way that most of the people have been approaching it the last couple of years. I kind of thought that there was something a little different or new. It's not really. it's something that's got to... But you're influenced by other things creatively.
Mm-hmm.
And with radio, I don't think I'm... radio's a hurting industry,
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways to enhance it is by learning from other industries that are still surviving and doing well. Movies, TV, these things. Lead-ins are something. There is a lot to be said for that. This show leading into Morning Magazine. And you have a tendency to leave on Morning Magazine because you've already been listening to the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where with this, I have my NFL Sunday, my first week of actual football, and that leads into Monarch. Because, hey, I'm just going to leave it on. I already have the TV on. It's mm-hmm. just easier that way.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
I'm
but
curious to see what happens to that with the rise of streaming,
mm-hmm.
where you don't really need lead-ins anymore.
True, true. But one thing that did kind of grab me about this is their soundtrack. They've got tunes by Waylon, Willie, Ed Bruce, and John Prine.
Yeah. They, from what I understand, too, they've worked with a lot of like producers in Nashville and different things, too. So, I mean, this if you are a country music fan, this is going to be your kind of jam. This
mm-hmm.
is going to be your kind of show.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the 2022's hardest working states in America.
Mm.
I like how they say hardest working states in America. Like we needed that defined. Like you mean states like other states in Europe? What are you talking about? We'll come back with that more on Mornings on WFHR.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning,
access to technology and school supplies,
and even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Sunny skies and calm this afternoon with a high of 76. Northwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 56. Tonight, clear skies. 81 tomorrow, sunny skies. Low 80s Thursday, mid 80s Friday, with a chance for scattered storms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 63.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Taking a look at your local temperatures in your neck of the woods. Let's see. It's kind of updated a little bit here. 67 in Stevens Point, 64 in Marshfield, 66 in Wausau, and as Jen said, 64 here in Wisconsin Rapids. And now it's time to take a look at kind of a fun one. Now, Monday is Labor Day.
Yes.
And as a side note, programming note to the audience, our staff will not be in that day. Our normal original shows will not be, on the air. We should have a programming note for you soon, though, as far as President Biden's speech that is going on that day. I do believe we'll be covering that here on the station. So we'll see about that. But that may be a thing where if I got to come run in and, you know, put it on live or something like that, that's that. But otherwise, nobody else going to be here on Monday. Pam.
take the day off.
Take the day off. It's a well-deserved, and it is Labor Day, and it's, you know, one of those days that I kind of look forward to every year. I hate letting go of summer, of course, but I like what the essence and what Labor Day is all about and what it means.
Yes.
So again, Monday is Labor Day. So have you been working hard or hardly working this year? In general, Americans put in more hours at work than people in many other countries do. The average U.S. The average in the U.S. was 1,791 hours last year. That's about 36 hours a week. And if you take 2 weeks off a year, who the heck's taking 2 weeks off a year?
Who get vacation.
I guess. And it's about 25% more than people in Germany, France, or the U.K., 16% than less than people in Mexico.
Wow.
But which state has the hardest workers? As an annual study ranked in all 50 states based on things like employment rates, hours worked, average commute, and how much free time people have in general, this is the list we got. According to the results, the 10 hardest working states are North Dakota, Alaska, Nebraska, South Dakota, Texas, Virginia, Oklahoma, Kansas, New Hampshire, and Wyoming.
Wow, a lot of rural states.
Yeah.
Which means a lot of commuting time.
You're right. New Mexico ranked last, followed by Rhode Island, New York, Michigan, and West Virginia.
Does it have the full list?
Yeah, I'm going to take a look at it right now.
Okay, good. So I want to see where we fall on that list.
Yeah, got to always find that out. This is at wallethub.com if you want to find the complete article. And they do some really nice reporting over there. They really know their stuff.
Data is beautiful.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for it. So let's see. Locally, Indiana is 17. 18 is Minnesota. Iowa is at 22. Wisconsin at 24.
Oh.
Followed by Idaho.
All right. So we're in the top half.
Yeah.
Just.
I think that this is certainly, there's a lot of logistics to get involved in something like this when you hit it right on the head right away. With the travel time and that, because the things that they're looking at, hours worked, average commute. I think that average commute part kind of might throw things off a little bit.
It might.
I don't want that to sound like I don't think that North Dakota isn't a hardworking state.
And that's not what I meant either.
Yeah.
But when the factors are those and average commute, is that by miles?
Yeah.
Is that by hours spent in the car? Because people who work in big metropolitan areas maybe only travel 2 miles, but it might take them 2 hours.
It's also one of those things that it's hard to gauge, like hard working. Like somebody can put in a 10-hour day at a job, but they're sitting on their keister the whole time. You know,
they're not doing manual labor, like
that's
per se.
Yeah, that's a hard working. Yeah, but,
except that it is. It can be.
No, I was talking while you were saying that last part. Yeah. If you're talking about manual labor, obviously I've done that my whole life.
But also sitting on your keister for a full shift can be.
I'm talking about literally just sitting there though. I'm not talking about actually like the of course that's work. Yeah.
Okay.
I've done that kind of work. Yeah. And I know many people that do, and that is very hard work. Any factory work is pretty much difficult. You're not going to find a lot of easy factory jobs. I'm talking about somebody literally just sitting there their whole time, like they're not doing anything. That just because they put 10 hours in doesn't mean they worked hard.
Right.
By the way, anybody that's hiring for that position, you know, you might just let us know. That seems like a pretty sweet gig.
Sure.
What job am I referencing there? What am I actually talking about there?
I have worked a couple of those jobs. I was a switchboard operator for a time, and you sit there and you wait. You sit and wait, and you wait for the phone to ring. You can't do really anything else.
I would consider that a hard job, a hardworking job, mentally more than anything. But
yeah, because you have nothing, and it's feast or famine. You have nothing happening, or everything's happening.
We will take a quick commercial break. I'm sorry. We'll go to Melissa's news, take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back with That Ain't Right story. And then we get some good stories of the day. Plenty more coming up on Mornings on WFA. But I'd have had the kid clean while I was waiting for the cops to show up.
We got
some time to kill here, man. Get in that bathroom. Get in that bathroom. I'm not doing it. No, yeah, you are. Unfortunately, the lesson's not going to come home almost to any kid unless you do involve. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it's on law enforcement where they take it from there. You know, you give the kid a ticket or a stern warning, all those things. That's a case-by-case basis. And again, I don't like having to bring law enforcement involved into things that they don't, you know, they got their hands full already. Mm-hmm. If you can handle a situation, you know, I don't think that's such a bad thing.
Right.
But when it comes to something like this, like breaking and entering or you know, something.
This is a little beyond, like, coming onto your property and taking your apples.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something that may be a slightly less harmful than actually breaking into somebody's home. That's a different level.
Yeah. There is a lot of people nowadays that love to jump to panic. There's somebody following me. There's somebody following me, and he's a darker human being, and he doesn't do it, and this guy's just walking to work. Like, he just happens to be walking the same path she is and everything.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of that going on nowadays where that lady calls the cops or that guy calls the cops, and then they show up, and it's nothing, you know, and the time has been wasted by everybody. But then there are situations where, you know, you got to call them up. You got to get them involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is one of those.
Yeah.
Definitely one of those. I do like the idea of making him like clean the bathroom, though.
Well, community service for infractions of this nature where he was caught in the act. So nothing was actually harmed or damaged or taken from the property. You know, however law enforcement chooses to do that. And oftentimes for juveniles or kids, what have you, the punishment is community service to help teach them that, you know, you need to help and build your community, not tear them down and take away from them.
Yeah. We can't have the good without the bad. So let's get to a good story of the day before we go to commercial break. And I hung on to this one, Mel, thinking you'd dig this. This is something that you've kind of touched on before. A company is seeking to target the worst aspects of wasteful fast fashion, and demonstrate and profitable circular economy with the most standard of garments, the T-shirt. Utilizing the second largest source of cotton on Earth, T-Mill's business model is making mass-produced T-shirts from mass-produced T-shirts.
Oh, nice.
These days, you're having a corporate event. A good idea is to print 100 cotton T-shirts to commemorate it.
Mm-hmm.
Going on tour and looking to drum up some merchandise money for your band, print 500 cotton T-shirts and sell them at merch booths.
Mm-hmm.
We have this here, you know, where we had rafter shirts recently.
Yeah.
recently, yep. and that kind. We've lost a lot of our I've lost a lot of my wardrobe because of the Hardwood Media stuff, and I'm not wearing that anymore. So.
Right.
Like these things. So what do you do with those? Mm-hmm. Like now there are thrift stores and hand me downs and that kind of thing.
But how often are you going to buy a shirt with somebody else's logo or an event that happened 10 years ago?
Right. That's where they come in, trying to keep the World Wildlife Fund's profits going. Print, 10,000. Oh, they're giving other examples. Sorry. In the world of fast fashion, the ability of the casual T-shirt with something printed on it seems immersible in scope. That's where T-Mill comes in, claiming a truckload of clothes is dumped in a landfill or burned around the world every second.
Yes.
They're trying to get a handle on this waste flow by cutting off the T-shirt spigot.
Mm.
Every T-shirt bought from T-Mill can be sent back, ground up into cotton fibers, sterilized, and remade into new T-shirts in a pair of carbon-neutral factories powered by renewable energy.
Awesome.
So even the factories are...
Awesome. That is awesome.
It's really cool. Quote... We get told constantly as consumers, change what you buy, make better choices, educate yourself, do your bit, explains T-Mill co-founder Mark Drake Knight in a TEDx talk about his experience entering into sustainable fashion. So we tried to do our bit and buy products made from organic materials or products that are designed in such a way that they don't eventually end up in a landfill. It's like they don't exist. Actually, the more we looked, the more we learned that almost everything in the world seems to be made in the exact same way.
Hmm.
The torso tag on every shirt comes with a QR code that, when sent back to T-Mill, is scanned and worth a little rebate.
Ooh, nice.
In this way, the consumer also becomes the supplier, and where T-Mill would have to buy a new cotton, they instead spend the money on shipping to retrieve old and unwanted T-Mill tees from previous buyers, and on a little inconvenience for them to do so.
That's awesome.
Just a miraculous idea.
Yeah.
Now, I think that one of the things that I thought about when I first started reading this article was, but how much are these shirts going to cost and everything? I saw a shirt the other day that was the most expensive shirt I've ever seen, and I did not bookmark that shirt. Well, that's where, again, they come in with this plan that they have. Sustainable fashion is not catching up to the waste from its more wasteful industry cousins, and selling sustainable grown cotton or T-shirts made from recyclable water bottles when the price point is over $25 a shirt is just not going to catch on.
Right.
So they're offering these shirts at a very affordable price. So they're not only... There's no catch here. I kept looking for the catch. I kept looking for, okay, but they do this. The idea of recycling the same T-shirt sounds great, but what's the factory doing? What are the carbon emissions they're kicking out there and all these things and stuff? But they even covered that base.
Yeah. No, that is great.
By the way, as we are talking about the planet, really understand what that definition means, carbon emissions. What that truly is, because there's a lot of businesses that claim they're a green or they're completely green or something because of carbon emissions. Understand what that term means, what carbon emissions are.
Yes.
I dig up a tree and then I plant a tree. That's what they like to ballpark as what a carbon emission is or what have you or anything like that. It doesn't work that way. That's not how this works.
No.
That doesn't make
No, or that they claim that they're offsetting their carbon emissions.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they're removing carbon emissions from their company or from their planet. They're just offsetting it with funds.
Right. I mean, neither factor ends up to a greener planet.
No.
Or a sustainable planet.
No.
We'll take a quick commercial break, but you can feel this. You can read this entire article at thegoodnewsnetwork.org. I encourage you to check that out. We'll come back and have some more fun on WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's that time
of... on WFHR, 80s edition. No, I don't. Just always reminds me of Axel Foley, the theme song to Beverly Hills Cop.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know why.
I
it's not
that.
But it seems very close to that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this song
Similar
is.
Sound.
Hmm. We got a fun morning lined up for you, everybody, with nothing but great original content for you. When Mel and I wrap things up at the top of the hour, we'll welcome Morning Magazine for the week. We kick it off with Penny Sharp from the Wood County Health Department.
Ooh.
Looking forward to talking with Penny and catching up with her.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Dan Minter coming in, president of Assumption Catholic Schools.
Nice.
Catch up with him right before the SD school season is getting into gear here.
Yeah.
Did also want to remind our audience, we've got football back on the radio dial here.
Wow.
This Thursday, 6:05, Wisconsin Football Coaches Show, Paul Chris Show.
Mm-hmm.
Great way. Paul's a good talker. Like he's just an interesting guy. I could talk to him for hours and not even touch on football. I just find him an interesting character. And I love talking. I love hearing him talk about a good game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun, especially this first show of the season before they haven't even played a game yet.
Mm-hmm.
I love hearing what he has to say and kind of. You, if you listen closely, especially with Paul Christ, who doesn't necessarily keep his cards close to his chest, you're going to get a little bit of almost a preview of the season, at least from the coaching position, from what they're mm-hmm. looking at and the way that with things that they want to do this year.
Okay,
I'm really curious. We've got Wisconsin's got a couple of really nice young linebackers that I'm very interested to hear what his take is on, and some of those other players. And of course, you got Braylon Allen, one of the best, if not the best, running back in college football. It's going to be a fun season for Wisconsin fans.
All right,
and we of course got Assumption football on our sister station WIRI at 6:50. Our pregame will start. Randy and Don tag
nice.
Team in that. Assumption is going to be traveling to Pittsville to take on the Pittsville Panthers.
All right.
And then on Saturday, yes, rejoice, college football fans. It is back on Wisconsin. Our stuff will start. Really, they have a pretty long day of pregame stuff, but our game will kick off at 4, Wisconsin versus Illinois State.
All right. On Wisconsin.
Looking at some other good stories of the day, because that's a good story of the day to me, that we have college football back.
Mm. Football.
Yeah, football.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm not. here are a few good stories making the rounds. A retired doctor in New Jersey named Eric Greensmith lost 35 pounds so he could go back to his old job as a lifeguard this summer.
Really?
The last time he worked as a lifeguard was 50 years ago in 1972 when he was 17. He says it's always been one of his best jobs he's ever had.
Okay.
So a doctor went to become a lifeguard. That's
and he had to lose weight to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just kind of funny.
That is. And I mean, he's retired, but
right.
I mean, you know, if that's what you want to do with your time.
Well, and he's a doctor. I mean, he would know that if that weight loss was healthy for him or not. So, or you would think so.
If because I know a lot of people that they quote unquote retire, but they want to keep working or
right.
at least have a part time job
or something to fill the time.
My nana was like that,
mm-hmm.
you know. They weren't 5 minutes in this state and immediately had a job working at a hotel, like
right.
You know, just that especially certain a generation like this. So not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of water rescues. A guy near Lake Huvas in Arizona saved a tiny bunny he found drowning in his pool and nursed it back to health. He never touched it, but it nestled up to his feet at one point, and it's all on video. He gave it some food and stuck around to make sure no predators got it while it got its energy back, and eventually hopped off, and he knows it survived because he saw it again a few days later.
Cute.
He came by to say hi. No word on if the rabbit gave a thank you card, though. I'm not sure if that's why he came back.
I think that was the bun bun nestling up to his feet. That was the thank you.
That would be a thank you. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That would cover it. Melissa, I'm going to show my city boy roots here because I'm not sure if this is an old wives' tale or if it's true. I remember like the first month I'm out here, I'm in Rome, and they've got two really cool like parks, like beaches out
mm-hmm.
there in Rome where my nana and papa lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to one I hadn't been to before, and there was a nest on the ground, and it turned out to be a blue jay nest.
Okay.
And there were eggs in there, and
mm-hmm.
I wanted to pick the nest up and put it back in the tree. And as I went for it, my nana yelled at me like bloody murder, like, you can't touch that. That
mm-hmm.
The mother won't touch the eggs and everything because mm-hmm. if they smell a human or whatever.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to that? And I'm sorry to put you on the spot with this.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
As far as I know, that's always what I was taught as a kid, too. Don't touch young wild animals. Don't touch eggs. Don't, you know, none of that, because otherwise they won't be taken care of.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure if it's the same thing with rabbits or not, but he made a real point of not touching the rabbit. Mm. So that was the first thing I thought of. And immediately hearing my Nana's voice yelling at me. She didn't yell at me that much. It was,
you know. Well, and you know, wild animals, there is a little bit of danger there. Rabies can be transmitted from wild animals to humans, and it can be carried by several different species of animals.
Very good point.
And wild animals are wild.
Yeah, yeah.
They are not domesticated. They look cute and cuddly, but they are wild animals. So you shouldn't touch them.
Right. Yeah. That is one of those ones that I didn't have to learn that lesson. I kind of got that one. But it's one of those ones that you have to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. A TikToker in Australia is going viral after she asked her grandfather to help walk her down the aisle with her dad. She wrote it in a card and got emotional reading it. She says he's been a huge part of her life, and she's been waiting to ask ever since she was little.
Hmm.
That is beautiful. It is a really cool video, too. It got me a little bit. I'll admit, it got me. Right, that's sweet. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's this story here I wanted to touch on, Melissa. And this is kind of like techie, cool kind of thing.
Okay.
And could really like go to a take us to different levels. When I was little, I first moved out here, I had a couple of physical ailments and things that I needed to get looked at because I hadn't seen a doctor in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple of those things that are really necessary, but one of the things that I could not handle, they wanted me to wear this corrective shoe because my left foot kind of kicks in a little bit, goes inside a little.
Mm-hmm.
And this boot thing that I was supposed to wear, my first day of wearing it would have been my first day at Humpke. Or Washington, I think, actually. And I didn't want to do that. So I focused and I corrected my foot. Mm. Like, to this day, it goes straight. Every once in a while, it'll go a little in if I'm not focused enough or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I corrected it myself. But that is we're talking like a very loose indentation in that. And
right.
Not something.
It was not a major issue, but something that needed attention.
This takes that to a different level. A Velcro sleeve fastened around the leg has been designed with electrodes that help stimulate the muscle of those who experience difficulty getting around due to nervous system conditions.
Hmm.
It uses artificial intelligence to detect walking gait and sends the information to the electrodes to ensure each leg is moving as much in sync as possible. Furthermore, this device will be ready for delivery to those who have experienced a stroke or have multiple sclerosis or cerebral palsy in 2023.
Wow.
All testing and approval has already been concluded.
That's awesome.
Called the Neural Sleeve, it was developed by a company that makes bionic wearables called Psionic.
Hmm.
Quote, think of it as a way to sort of remote control your own leg. The brains behind a design studio, Future Prosthetic, says Yevis Belcher, who worked with Psionic to make the technology usable and sustainable. Oh, and affordable. Also, that's a key part of this, too.
Yeah.
What the algorithms do and what the electrodes do is they deliver the right sequence. And when the brain has relearned and reacquainted the knowledge of how to fire those muscles, the sleeve is not needed anymore.
Wow. So it's really a regenerative therapy.
God, is that beautiful?
Yeah.
I have not known a lot of people, but I had a close friend of mine, Jeremy Osborne, when I was in grade school, who had cerebral palsy, and his sister did. And Ozzy is one of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful to him, and I've told him this before, too. Growing up, I was raised in a very open-minded household. You were going to be accepting of all creeds, races, colors, sexes, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents did a really good job of that for me and my brother and sister. But I was not around a lot of disabled, handicapped, whatever mm-hmm. verb you choose
yeah,
to use.
People with different abilities.
Yeah. I wasn't around a lot of that. Jeremy was like really my first experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that always stood out to me about him was I never once heard him complain
mm-hmm.
or... Like Jeremy was in intramurals with us. He was on our basketball team. And it's pretty dang hard with cerebral palsy to run up and down the court and play defense.
Right.
Jeremy never complained. Jeremy just, he'd get down there as fast as he could. He'd do what he could. And then when he come down on the other side of the court, hit one of the most beautiful three-point shots I'll ever see in my life. The kid had an arc to his shot that was perfect.
Nice.
The idea that people like Jeremy, the people like that, could have cerebral palsy, like, to have that, like, corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that as if that there's anything wrong with them the way they were born. I don't agree with that. No. You know, but
he would like to have been able to run that basketball court,
right,
with his muscles working the way that they were intended to work.
Right. And to be able to do something like that, to think that we're not even a year away from that. Yeah, we're here. We're there.
To be able to, and for people with, what did they say? Did they say Parkinson's?
No, but that is the next step. That's very interesting you bring that up, Mel, because that comes up later in the article.
Because I know that that's a nerve and muscle-related thing as well.
When testing the neurosleeve, Psyonix started with 50 different prototypes. And among those prototypes, there were ones that they noticed worked a little bit differently for that.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it sounds like this company is not only are they only working on those things, but usually when we're talking about this stuff, it's like years down the line.
Right.
You know, we'll have the patent, and then it'll take another year for it to get manufactured.
Testing, and then we've got to go through the process. Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to hear a story where we got that part done. The sausage is made. Now it's time to eat. Like, yeah. it is pretty cool. Not only has reported mobility improved for many of their users, the number of users experiencing moderate to severe pain was reduced by 60%.
Wow.
And the number of users experiencing moderate or severe anxiety or depression was reduced by 75%.
Wow. Well, okay. How many times have any of us had an injury and you can't do what you want to do?
Mm.
You can't open a jar because you have a broken thumb. You know, you got to wait till that thumb heals to get it back. Does that make you angry and depressed and anxious? Yes.
I'm dealing with it right now.
Right.
My brain is not working with me. Yeah.
It just makes you really, it affects you mentally.
I can't imagine.
To imagine the increase in quality of life for people with those issues that can be, that's amazing. That's that's what science should do.
Right on. Yeah. We're going to get out of here right now. We want to remind you again, we've got a great morning magazine set of guests lined up for you. We are going to welcome in Penny Sharp from the Wood County Health Department, and in part two, Dan Minter, president of Assumption Catholic Schools. Looking forward to that. Did also want to let the audience know that tomorrow, Seth and Mel in with us. And
yeah.
Mel, you're going to try the clear feed, right?
Yeah, we're going to try it.
So we're going to see how that goes. It should be fun. Mm-hmm. It should be a fun different way to do the show.
You get to imagine my facial expressions, James.
yes.
You've seen enough of them now.
I feel like I got that down pretty good.
You need more, I will just send you picture messages from time to time.
We're definitely doing that. And we're going to have a fun show tomorrow. Mel, you have a good day.
You too, James.
Have a great one out there. Stick around for Morning Magazine right here on
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News.
After heavy rainfall damaged a water treatment plant.
The city cannot produce enough water.